Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 471. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Earl's now my mortal enemy. He's ruined his life. It's happening.
Wow, I mean, that escalated quickly.
Tony's mortal enemy, Earl, is also here. This is an awkward
more
show.
To combat.
And Jeff, who's nobody's enemy.
I'm his frenemy.
Frenemy, all right.
That's better. You can be my Tony. Secret ally, Jeff. Plot Earl's demise.
Oh, why are we killing Earl?
All because he's like, we should get out of here at a reasonable time tonight.
Earl comes every week. Like he's like...
And this week he's not leaving.
we got some games to talk about. A few new things, actually. I played a couple new things. Jeff, you played something new.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, Earl, I'm not sure what you guys played, if anything.
I have not touched video games in a long
time. I thought you had tons of things to talk about.
Who, me?
No, Tony was claiming this.
Oh, I can come up with tons of things to talk about. Come up with video games.
Talk about. Yeah, not new video games.
The only thing I would talk about is video game related, but not video games, is Doom Annihilation.
Yeah, so you did see that.
Yes, I did see that.
What did you think of that?
It is in some ways better and worse than the original Doom movie.
that's yes. That is a good description of it.
So for any diehard Doom fans out there, this is much more faithful to this is much more faithful to the Doom franchise.
So that you're like running around in hell and shit in this and blowing away demons.
The Mars base.
On the Mars base, yeah. Demons, the there's key cards that some there's you have to pick 3 key cards to open a gate.
great. I love it.
The BFG makes an appearance, and it's like a laser gun. And they actually take time out of the movie to explain, one, why they didn't go for this first, and two, to explain the type of ammo it uses. So if you wanted to know that, that's in there. But yes, you can tell that this is a budget movie, and it really shows with the character designs. Like, there are demons in here who would have really benefited by them just turning off the lights in this movie and not showing them on full-on sets.
Are they, like, digital or practical?
They're CG.
Oh, yeah.
They're bad.
Yeah.
They kind of look like they belong.
Like, I mean... They look like they belong in a Doom game, which doesn't necessarily mean it translates to a movie but CG
yes.
well.
Yes, they look like they belong in the game, not... Yes.
Yes. And the best part about this, and I'm always a fan of anything that does this, is that this movie's like, we're going to end on a cliffhanger because we're totally getting a sequel.
Totally. Totally.
Totally. Because everybody knows nothing says sequel quite like a direct-to-video video game.
That the developer and publisher of said video game has totally denied the existence of. Like they have like excommunicated it from anything dealing with them directly. So yeah, super strong.
Super strong. So it is a high recommend.
By which he means you better be high to see it. That's what he said.
I was going to say I was actually not drunk for this, but that is not true. I was very drunk for this. Probably, or I don't remember being drunk for this. So that did not help.
Or it helped. Maybe you thought more highly of it than it.
And I still don't think that highly of it. I will say I do think that it incorporated the game elements somewhat cleverly, at least for a movie. Like we mentioned, some of the weapons and stuff like that. But there are also sequences where the movie has a HUD, and how they do that is anytime like a soldier is staring down like the scope of their gun, there's like an overlay to kind of show that one that they're using their gun, but also it's something programmed into the gun. Like, it's stupid in for a movie, but I'm glad that they tried the same way that the original Doom tried a first person sequence.
And I think that actually worked a little bit better too than that first person sequence in the original Doom. Like, these little HUD elements I thought were kind of cool. Like, they look stupid, but
it works. And yeah. I think the problem with the first person element in the first Doom movie is that you could tell it wasn't attached to an actual human. Like, the camera wasn't moving in a way that a normal body would move and how the camera would operate. Like, yeah. Essentially, they needed a GoPro back then, and they didn't have it, so.
Yeah, who was the guy who was doing that in that original one? What the hell was his name?
Carl Urban?
Carl Urban, yeah. Like, they needed to strap a GoPro to his head, but it was more like they just kind of had, like, somebody running down the hallway, chest level.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Which is also weird because first person view should be from the head and not like your midsection.
Nope. Yep, not at all. I one of the things that I saw people making fun of it, but I actually thought, like, hey, you know, if you're gonna play around with this and you're gonna make video game references, at least make them relevant to the video game movie that you're making. Some of the dead staff, dead soldiers or dead scientists in the facility there had names of people that worked, like John Carmack is one of them. Like, they mentioned him. They also, they killed BJ Blazkowicz. like he's mentioned multiple times, actually. We need to get this key card. And they use key cards, too.
Yeah. I think the big one, which is oddly enough not a Doom reference. I don't necessarily know if it's even a reference, but the main character's name is Joan Dark.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
So I have to assume it's a reference to Perfect Dark.
Yeah, otherwise it's way too much of a coincidence.
I forgot my absolute favorite part of the movie is they somehow worked in an exploding barrel sequence. Yep. So there's a part where a bunch of demons are rushing them and she shoots an exploding barrel to take them out. I'm like, I don't get the logic in it, but you worked it into the movie, so kudos to you.
Yeah. That's one I don't regret renting. It wasn't good, but I had fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, again, not recommending, but if you happen to have 90 minutes and it's on somewhere, it's not a bad movie to have in the background.
If you're, like, strapped to a chair in a prison cell and it's on the TV, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be perfectly fine with Doom Annihilation.
They could do much worse. All right. Well, that is our not movie dudes movie review. we got a couple new games here. I played a pair of games I couldn't talk about last week. One is this cinematic atmospheric platformer called Stella, which just came out, I believe, today on Xbox One, PS4, PC, and iOS. So that'll tell you right there that it is not a complex platformer. It plays a lot like Inside or Limbo, where it's it's puzzle based. Like you're there's some puzzles you have to figure out. There's environmental puzzles that you're trying to solve. There is some light platforming. There's some light stealth as well. I don't know what the hell the story was. I really don't. Like, they sent me, because I got a review copy of it. And
they told me what the story was?
They told me what the story was, but I still don't. I don't know where they came from there. Like, I don't know what her quest was. Ultimately, she's going across this desolate, but very beautiful environment. of this, it looks like society has fallen apart or been taken over by these creatures that are chasing this girl. But then at the end, like, it totally twists and you are in another dimension with crazy, you know, rainbow platforms and shit. I don't know what was going on. I enjoyed it though. It was, you know, fun for what it was, which is one of those types of platformers. Like, it's very much like an Inside or, you know, just an atmospheric cinematic looking platformer. The other new game I played was this thing called The Fisherman.
Catchy.
The Fisherman Fishing Planet, I think is what it was called. I'm laughing about it.
It's called The Fisherman Fishing Planet. Yes. That's the name?
Yes. It is a fishing game. Like an actual fishing game.
One of those.
Like it's a 8. And not just like, oh, you're going to go fish. Like, this is a hardcore fishing sim. Maybe I am not the right person to have reviewed this. One, because I don't really fish anymore and haven't for like 30 years. But the other being that it's super complex. And for me, I found it actually pretty cool. There's a really good onboarding to it where, you know, they kind of start teaching like, oh, here's a rod and reel, and basically you just kind of like at the start you just drop it into the water and you learn how to watch the bobber, and you can set different baits onto the hook, and you know, you pull it out like when the bobber goes down and you start reeling it in and you catch your little fish, and then it starts giving you more and more concepts on like, all right, well, here's one where you're going to cast the line out and you're slowly going to reel it in, stop, slowly reel it in, and that'll like get the fish to chase it. But it's like, it takes place over all these lakes all over the world, and you're unlocking them kind of like you would in like a racing game or something. There's a bunch of multiplayer stuff. It is super deep on the amount of equipment and type of lines, and it's insane the amount of detail here. I don't understand most of it, but I actually did enjoy it. There is this kind of calm sense to just playing like this fishing game where you're just like throwing this line out and just like not really doing anything, but waiting around. Like, it's kind of chill.
Great. Awesome. Sure.
But,
so are you going to like start fishing now again, like in real life? You're
going to take up fishing, that's right.
Yeah, on my TV, maybe, but I don't actually want to go out into the real world.
I am with you, man. I find it really boring to go fishing, man. Like, everyone, a lot of people I know think it's like cool. I'm like, nah, not at all.
It's relaxing.
It's the point of it is to just fucking get fucked up on a lake. Other than that, I don't get like the appeal.
Which
I remember being like 12 years old and my mom dragging me out there on the damn lake at like 6 in the morning, like shoot me.
So I enjoyed it as a kid. Like my grandparents lived on a lake, like lived right across from a lake, and my aunt actually lived on the lake and she had a dock that went out. And my grandfather would take us out there and we would go fishing either off of the wharf or in his boat. But, you know, when he died, like I did not pick up fishing and continue doing it in Pennsylvania. Like, and I have been fishing since he died. My grandmother keeps like, you should come get the fishing rods out of the garage. Like, they've been there for 30 years. Like, they probably ain't good no more. I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
But I'm pretty sure that like the shit that my grandfather put together 30 years ago for me ain't gonna work now. But I don't know. It was kind of cool. Like, I could see, you know, just like maybe sitting around on like a Sunday morning when you don't really want to like play anything deep. Like, you don't really want to play anything competitive.
Some fishing.
Yeah. Like, sometimes like I'll put on like Forza or something like on a Sunday morning, like while I'm waiting for football to start or something. I could see myself maybe popping in and playing this. Like, it was, you know, crack open a beer or something and get drunk in front of your TV, not on the lake, because it ain't cold at the lake. It isn't too hot at the lake if it's in front of your TV. You're not getting bit by mosquitoes at the lake because you're not at the lake. You're doing it with your Xbox controller.
Have you ever like enjoyed a fishing game before? Like any of the old, like did you ever like own one for like the older systems or anything?
So I remember having, I don't remember what it was, but I bought one for, I think it was the Dreamcast, and it actually had like a fishing controller.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that, I think that was an arcade game. That
is
got
it,
yeah.
It's like Sea Bass or
Big Bass or something like that. I don't know. It was something like that though, Earl. And the controller is ridiculous looking. It's this like gigantic reel, and it plays garbage, and I did not like it.
Sega Bass Fishing. There we go.
Yes. it was a. This way more. I mean, the fidelity on this is way more detailed.
Yeah.
And there's boats. Like as you progress, you can get boats, and that's kind of cool. Like just driving around your boat with your fish finder.
It's just I'm having flashbacks to. I had a friend who was like an outdoorsman or whatever, and like so when N64 came out,
had a friend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've known him my whole life, but I remember when N64 came out, like. You know, like everybody, of course, you got Mario 64 with it. But then the like other, like, and I think he got like, was it Wayne Gretzky Hockey or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other, like his third game for that system was fucking whatever the fishing fucking game was. And just like playing that and me, like, I remember playing it, like, wanting to like it and just being like, dude, I don't know, here's the controller, dude. Like, this fucking sucks. I'm gonna go do something else. Like, I don't know.
I put a chunk of time into this, but you can like unlike real fishing where like you throw the line out and there's no assurance that you were going to catch anything. This does a good job of like, you know, you're not sitting there too long waiting for the line to get hooked. Like, I don't know, I played a little bit before we started recording tonight, and in like a half hour, I caught like 10 little fish. Like, I was just kind of like tossing the line out. Like, you're really quickly catching fish, so it's not like, it's not this long wait like it would be. So you're always doing something, and there's like a progression loop to it, too. So you're gaining experience for every fish you get, and then as you'll level up, which then unlocks new lakes and new equipment and stuff, so there's that hook, like that Call of Duty progression hook in this fishing game. It's like, yeah, I should keep playing because if I keep playing, I'll unlock that new rod that I don't know how to use. Like I don't know how to use it. Like they've been introduced like six or seven different styles. It's like. I thought you just threw the fucking thing into the pond. Like that's what I did with my grandfather. Like I threw it out there. Yeah. Like he would change up the line every once in a while or the bait we used and we would catch different fish, but I don't know. This gets really complicated and I don't know if I'm that invested, but yeah, I'll throw it out there for a little bit, catch little fish. It's goofy. Jeff, tell us about a Knight's Quest, though, because that's something new and probably more in line with something we usually would play.
Yeah, it's like this new indie game. I think the developer is Sky9, I want to say, and I have no idea what they've done before, but this is like a fucking lost early 3D Zelda game, basically. Like... You know, it's very clearly inspired by like early 3D Zelda and
like Ocarina or
yeah. And also like kind of reminds me of like the type of games like we often talk about that we wish they made still, like kind of like this like reminds me of like if on the PS2 fucking Midway tried to do like a Legend of Zelda impression or something, you know what I mean? Like just feels like one of those types of titles. And, you know, the fact that it's a budget game, I mean, definitely does show around the edges. There are problems with it. There's actually probably like three big things about this game that I you know, I'm finding I don't like. I just haven't, like, I don't know if you've seen me talk about this game on Twitter at all. Like, I've not focused on any of that at all, because the main takeaway is that I fucking, like, love this game. I'm obsessed with it. It's like all I've played since I bought it, you know, last week or whatever. I mean, I like Zelda, and it's just a lot of fun. And, like, some of the, some of the puzzle solving and shit also kind of feels like Mario 64, because there is like a decent amount of platforming in it as well. So it just feels like a weird mix of like those two games, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of fun. Like, again, I guess I could touch on some of the things I think are not so great about it, like the combat. It is like basic, you know, 3D Zelda, where you can like lock on and you slash your sword at enemies and shit. But it just feels like shit. Like, it's just kind of, there's no impact to what you're doing. And some of the enemies have like shields up where you have to like use a type of magic on them to get rid of the shield. And it's just like, you're switching between different magic types trying to do this shit, and the getting a spell off kind of takes a second, so like another enemy could just run in and hit you, and it's just, I don't know. I anytime the game like focuses on combat, and there has been one part so far where like a really it was like a trial of strength where you'd like make it through four rooms in a row without dying. I'm not having as much fun when that shit happens. I also think the map sucks. Like, there's no mini map. The way you kind of navigate the world is like there's like a compass at the top of your screen. So think like Fallout, kind of.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're just like that bar at the top of the screen, and when you're facing the right way where your next quest is, like you'll see like a dot or something.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into like the menus to like look at your map, like to look at the world map, it's an absolutely worthless world map. It's like this cartoon. It's like this cartoon representation of the world that is not like one to one true with what the actual map of the world is. Like, it's like a cartoon map. You see yourself on it, but doesn't, you know, it's just like a dot. You can't even tell which direction you're facing. So like, I could see navigation getting hard at points. Like, I've somehow been lucky in that, like, I've not really got stuck bad in this game yet, because it's this new smaller game that no one gives a shit about, so like there's no walkthroughs out there for it. So I've been lucky with that, but like, again, I think that I wish they would like update the map. And then there's like one other huge issue where it's like, the only way or time that the game saves is like when you like enter a new area. Like, as soon as you enter that new area, it'll say, you know, game saving, game save. Like, that's it. You can't pause and save. There's no like place in the world where you can go save. It's just like, once you enter a new area, the game auto saves. And let's say you're going through like what is essentially like a temple, like, or, you know, like a level. And you're like three quarters of the way through the level and you straight up fucking die, like your bar gets completely depleted. You like lost all your progress because it didn't save. Like, there was no checkpoint or anything. Like, so like, if I'm like deep into the level, what I find myself doing is going, well, I'm going to backtrack to the entrance of this level so that it'll autosave. I feel like that's something that they could fix, but God, that fucking is getting annoying at points. So have I sold you on this game?
No. No, you haven't. Earl wants to play it, though. I can tell.
Yes, he does.
All those shortcomings aside, like...
Is that for real, Earl? You actually want to play it, or...?
No.
He wants to play it while watching Doom at the same time.
It's like... again, like... There are things about it, like, that it rightly get criticized for, and like, it makes me understand why it's getting like, kind of, I think it's averaging in the sixes for whatever like reviews are actually out there for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it, But like, let's say you go on your Xbox or your Switch and you watch the trailer for this and you're like, man, that looks like my type of game. Like, you probably will enjoy it, dude. It has like that kind of like Nintendo charm to it. One thing I should mention too, like it just made me think of it, is like some of the dialogue is really funny. Like, it's really sharp. Like, it's all text boxes, you know, just like early, you know, 3D Zelda, but it's
no voice acting.
But no. I mean, it's just, wah, 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 you know, like shit like that. And, but like some of the shit that they say is really funny, actually. Like, I was talking to a character earlier and he's like, I don't know. How should I know? Like, I got a degree in is creative writing. Just like, what the fuck? And he's like, like, right before you leave him, he's like, you should probably, like, don't do what I did and, like, get a degree in something useful, like accounting. I was just like, pretty fucking funny writing like that. Like, characters will make, like, weird, like, comments about capitalism and shit, too, all the time. Like, I was not expecting the writing, like, I wasn't expecting anything out of it. I thought I would just be, like, set up for whatever. Oh, you need to go to the next area, or whatever, you know. I'm just like surprised how it's actually made me laugh a couple times. And it's just, it has that like 3D adventure game feel. Like, I like being in that type of world where you're like doing platforming and there's a fucking, there's an ice level, there's a desert level, you know, there's a forest level. Like, I just feel like outside of like the big games like Zelda or whatever, like, you don't get a ton of shit like that anymore. And this is like a fun, you know, imitation of it.
Is it like a $20 game?
It's $25, but I bought it on the Switch, which is like, sometimes games come out on sale, you know, and so I think on the Switch it's $5 off, but like on Xbox it's $25.
Okay.
I'd say like, again, even if it was like over in a couple hours from now, I'd say it's totally worth that price. Like, really, really enjoying myself. And a lot of like the things that like I hate about it, like, or, you know, bug me, I really feel like they could somehow fix the save situation. Like, just add checkpoints or do something, man. Because like, I can't believe they didn't come up with a better solution. Maybe that's how they wanted it to be. Like, you need to get through this whole level at once. But like, that's not modern game design. I don't know. But again, it's fun enough, and like, it's fun enough that I'm like overlooking all that stuff and I'm like obsessively playing. Like, I haven't gone back to Borderlands or Yooka-Laylee since I started playing this. I mean, I will go back to them, but I'm kind of like plowing ahead through this one. I'll let you know how long it is. I'm hoping to be done with it by next week, before like all the 8 billion games drop.
Yeah, next week is next, it's next Friday, right? Next Friday.
Next Friday is Outer Worlds.
And Call of Duty. I think both are on that same day. So.
Is Call of Duty next week? Wow.
Yeah. I think it's probably 25th.
Gonna get them both. Well, I'm gonna see what they have to say about like what's in Call of Duty and shit, but I'm definitely gonna be playing the fuck out of the Outer Worlds.
I'm gonna rent Call of Duty, play through the campaign.
Yeah.
Maybe try the multiplayer.
Am I the only one here that's like super psyched for Outer Worlds?
No, I'm really psyched. I can't wait.
It fucking looks awesome.
I love Obsidian. I think they do great games.
And it just looks like a straight successor to New Vegas. Like, it's totally that type of game. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it looks like a Fallout. Like, it looks like a Bethesda open world game, which, you know, not an Obsidian game, but Obsidian adds a better story onto their stuff than some other developers. So
I was watching something right before we started where they're talking about the game. They're like, you could make your character dumb, I guess. Just fucking, I love that idea. I guess that was something that was in like Fallout 2 and shit, but I never played those ones.
Hey, you can make your intelligence like super low,
and like you'll like, you know, your vocabulary gets worse and shit.
Yep, your dialogue options change based on your level.
So it's such a cool idea. Anyways, yeah, I can't wait for that.
Nice, Tony. You said you haven't played anything.
No, I mean, I played, you know, the same stuff. NBA 2K, you know, Madden. More MechWarrior.
We tried to play some Gears last night.
We did, and we played Gears, but it didn't count.
Sucks. That sucks too, because they just added four new characters in, but to unlock them, you have to do these challenges, and none of our anything we did saved towards that. So we stopped playing after about five rounds and moved on. But yeah, I wish that we could get those server issues fixed. Earl, you playing anything else?
Would you be surprised if I said Borderlands? That's pretty much it.
I did download
World War Z. I'm not gotten around to playing that yet. I'm curious. I believe that's on Game Pass right now. So,
yeah, I think I downloaded it too.
Yeah, we were.
Oh yes, we all downloaded it. We were supposed to play it this weekend.
Well, Tony and I had not downloaded it as of tonight.
But right.
Yes, we were asked to download it, and we had not gotten there yet. But yeah, I will be downloading that as well, so we can try and play that. It's supposed to be what I think Earl, you said, like a Left 4 Dead type.
It's not asymmetrical. It's like you have for Dead, but there's apparently a bunch of different combinations, because it can also be PvPvE. So it's two teams of four being attacked by zombies as well.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
I played I watched my son play a little bit of Fortnite. And then I
fall into the black hole.
So it was after the black hole. He had actually not played for, I guess, the last three seasons or so.
And the black hole reinvigorated his interest.
Yeah, it did. Like they shut the game down. It was actually offline for, I guess, almost a whole day or over a day. And then when it came back, it is now Fortnite Chapter 2. It's a new island. And they've made some other changes. You can swim now. You can hide in haystacks like Assassin's Creed. You can fish. I'm not sure why. there's a fishing mechanic in it. And that actually, before we started recording, after I had finished my other fishing excursion, I had popped in Fortnite to just try it out, see what the changes were. And, I was testing out the fishing and I got shot and killed. So don't do that just out in the open.
Be careful fishing. Fish
it's still a battle royale, right? Like that hasn't changed, but, they've cleaned up like a lot of stuff. Like it seems way more polished in terms of how they present things and their battle pass and their experience loop. And, even some of the gameplay stuff seems like interesting and in how they've now handled it with the swimming, and there's boats that you can, control. So you can drive them up through the little rivers that are in the middle of the map. They've added finishers, like they have in Apex Legends. So I don't know. It's still Fortnite. So if you didn't like that, it's probably not going to bring you back, but, I think they're doing some cool things. I might reinstall it on my Switch and, play it every now and then off of there. I can't see myself playing too much on the Xbox, but it seems pretty cool. I think that's it for games. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about.
So much to talk about, right, Earl?
So much to talk about. I forget. Did I mention that I started playing Mario Kart Tour or not on this show?
I think you mentioned it. I don't think you actually talked about your experience with it, though. So how are you enjoying Mario Kart Tour?
I'm happy that I own Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
That is the correct response.
Don't they want you to pay to play with people anyways?
We have to advance to a certain level, and I've not gotten there. I've not been that interested. Because, at the core, You either drive like a drunk person.
Yes.
Or you don't really drive. Like, there's no in between because you either have like drift on, which means you don't really turn, you just try to drift. And that's really hard to navigate going back and forth between the space. Or you can move left and right, but you can't do anything else while driving. So it's like this weird combination that's like, I want to be able to drift and actually like move my car just a little bit so I can get stuff without like, oh, I missed this turn. I'm going to run into the grass now.
Yeah. Like, if you have, I think drifting is the advanced mode too, right? Like,
yeah.
And if you have that on, like, you're not, you're just, basically, it's snaking. You just have to, like, snake your way through. And I've never been good at that in a Mario Kart game.
No, and neither have I. And it also doesn't help because, like, you know, how it's set up is you just kind of move your hand at the bottom of the screen to drift left or right. But you also press your hand at the bottom of the screen to drop an item.
Yep.
So sometimes your phone really does not differentiate where you're pressing. And it's like, oh, well, there goes my banana. So I guess I'm just going to be red shell bait now.
Yep.
And then it has stuff from, stuff that was introduced in the DS and the Wii version, with like the gliders and stuff. But again, because of how it controls, I actually rather stay on the ground then try to navigate that in midair or to time the jumps properly, because again, the game doesn't really have that layout of buttons.
And you don't have the level of control you need to be able to handle that stuff properly.
Yes. And to Jeff's point, I mean, as far as I can tell, they don't necessarily want you to pay. But they really do not give you any rewards. You are like to get other stuff. It does seem like you are gonna have to show up money, because like even beating like the whole like beating cups, you don't get a ton of rewards. You get like maybe 10 coins per race, and you get a few stars, and that doesn't really get you anything in the shop machines or the gacha mechanic.
I could have swore I saw that they wanted you to pay money to play online on your phone or something, but
there's like a subscription service to it.
That's what I'm saying. Is like
$5 a month or something.
Like, who the fuck is gonna do that? Like, I just don't see that. Would you do that? Would you pay $5 a month to play Mario on your phone? Like, fuck that, dude.
If it was legitimately good to play.
I was going to say, you say that now, but I mean, really, at this point, we pay to play online on the Xbox and PS4, the Switch. I mean, Apple has a
subscription model,
Google has a
subscription. But not model. Like one game.
That's what I'm saying.
One game, but I mean, people do it for WoW. People, I mean, like them, I get it from our point of view, but the idea that people wouldn't pay one price for a game. Like, the amount of money people invest in, like, a Fortnite or Overwatch, like, it's a model that might work. I don't think Mario Kart Tour, I'm not defending Mario Kart Tour in that sense. It's not a game worth it. Honestly speaking, it's a lot more money if you don't have one. Buy a Switch and Mario Kart 8, it's a much better value and a much better Mario Kart. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, the notion of, like, oh, pay, like, I mean, essentially you're paying to unlock the game and get all the features or whatever. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just don't download the game. I will say, I don't know if Nintendo did this on purpose or not, because I remember, a decade ago, everybody's like, oh, Nintendo needs to make mobile games. And every mobile game Nintendo makes is like, I'm happy I have the console version.
Yeah. Even where, like, you would have thought, like, somehow Animal Crossing would have translated, but I played it once and just didn't care.
And some people do enjoy it, but I think, and I mean, this was part of Iwata's strategy, was that if we do make mobile games, they're going to be games that drive people to the consoles or the handheld at the time.
They're actively doing that.
And it's like, oh,
hey, they're like, you don't want to play it here.
Exactly.
Suck it. Suck this. This is what mobile feels like. Eat it.
Yeah, so they're pared down versions of Because there's a lot of interesting stuff you could have done with Animal Crossing without actually making it like Animal Crossing Night. And they were like, no, we're going to make this really bad version of Animal Crossing.
It's like, I think that was the problem with that game too, because it's like, that game already is super light. Like, there's not a lot to it. I don't know. I don't think you can strip that down that game anymore and have it still be compelling. I don't know.
Well, yes, I agree with her, although this Mario Kart game, not particularly good.
No, and I only downloaded it because I have a friend who's actually really enjoying it. And I do think there will be... I think that the brand and the... How do I say this politely without sounding condescending? The quality of certain mobile titles, I think, for a lot of people, it's good enough. And I don't think any of these games, on a fundamental level, are bad games. They're just not really... They don't really give you the experience you would get with a full version of Mario, Animal Crossing, or Mario Kart, or whatever.
Right. Have any of you tried out a Call of Duty Mobile?
Besides, no, I haven't. I'm gonna shit on my phone. I look at it through every 3 seconds on my phone. That's what I do.
Yeah, I think I talked a little bit about it last week. I tried the Battle Royale mode. I don't think I was playing against real humans.
Probably not.
But I won.
So that's all that matters.
And it felt real good. and then my son told me he has won 5 times. And I was like, I definitely wasn't playing as real humans. but it was still like, it was super tense and fun. I don't know. That is similar to what you were saying, Earl, like how they don't really give you that full experience. It's not really what I want out of Call of Duty, but it's close enough.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll ask you until next week where you get the full Call of Duty experience.
Yeah. And it's also something like I can boot it up on my phone when I'm waiting for a report to run at work or something, and the matches take, less than 10 minutes and it's done and I can move on. Like, so it works as being able to just like pop up something where I wouldn't normally be able to do that, right? Like, I can't just boot up Call of Duty on my Xbox unless I'm home, working from home, but if I'm sitting at my desk waiting for something, like sometimes I'll play like, Dr. Mario or some other match 3 game. Now I can play Call of Duty while I wait for a report to run.
You go. Or you could work, but.
Well, I am work. I'm waiting for that report to run.
You could do other stuff. I'm sure not everything has to do with your computer.
Almost everything. They put my phone on my computer. Everything is now locked behind my computer. So,
do you have that ShoreTel thing? Or
I haven't.
My gosh, the IT department at our job hates ShoreTel. It just eats up a ton of resources on your computer, and it runs in the background. And
yeah, it does.
I get the use of it, but it's so like most of the time it's not practical. If I want to check my voicemail, I'm just going to check the phone. We have a staff directory. I don't need to. That go through ShoreTel to figure out somebody's extension. We have it's on the intranet. I'll just find it there, but off subject, I just know that every time the IT department comes, somebody complains about their computer being slow, the first thing they ask is like, do you have that ShoreTel app installed? The other thing is seeing Dropbox is a pain in the ass now too, so.
They block Dropbox at our work. We have an inner office, SharePoint though to share documents.
I think we don't, because most of the time we use Dropbox to share to external vendors.
Yes.
So
some of our clients are like, hey, we'd like you to not Dropbox, but I guess there's something called box.com or some other sites.
Box, that there's just Box. Yeah. There's Box. A couple of them.
Yeah, like one of our clients is like, hey, could you put our invoices on there? I can't access it.
Right.
I've asked for a year now, and my IT department's like, yeah, that's not secure. We're not giving, like, this other major company that is probably bigger than our company uses. Why can't we? But yes, everything for me that was locked on my computer are also, if I'm running a report that is literally, like, my computer freezes while I'm running this report for Excel, because Excel should not be handling the financial data for a giant company like ours. But
it is. Why not?
Yeah. It's like, oh, great. I love our systems. They're phenomenal. So
there's nothing better than systems built on systems built on systems.
Yep.
That are eventually going to collapse because a lot of the stuff they built on is handled by other apps that nobody wants to switch to because it costs money and training staff.
Yep.
But I have my job. I have everything that you do. I work hard at all times. I'm always working. I'm even working now.
Yep.
Yay, me work. Too.
Work. Work hard.
Speaking of just... Not to derail us here, but we should wrap up so we can get Earl out of here.
No, we need to talk all night.
But I walked into the office a little bit late, and my CFO texted me. I was like, "Are you joining this call?" Like, yeah. I just gotta boot up my computer. She's like, "Just come into my office." So I went into her office to take this call with her, and about halfway through, she's like, "I have another call." Finish this up at your desk. So I have to go back to my desk, boot up my computer, but Outlook froze, which had the link to the meeting. Like, I had to find an alternate way to join the Skype call. So I'm like IMing the other people on the call, like, "Hey, can you add me? Because I can't get to the link to open up the meeting request."
Been banned by technology.
Yeah. Love technology. It's great.
It is the best. And I'm surprised you folks still use Skype. Because what is the one that we use? WebMD. That's not it. WebEx?
WebEx. They use WebEx on occasion.
Skype comes with a bunch of other office suites, so you have it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with office suites now, because office suites is now trying to do its own thing, where it's taking on some of these their own functions. Because, like, we used to have Office, the Skype for Business, which nobody in the office liked to use because we used to call it, like, Skype for Cops, because that's the one we just assumed, like, the organization was always spying on. So you would have your own. But, yeah, like, I think I mentioned before that we're rolling out Office 365 in the office, and that comes with, like, Teams, which is their version of Slack. And then they're doing a collaborative documents, kind of like how you could do with Google Docs. So it's exciting, but it's also just like another one of those avenues where it's going to be super frustrating because nobody's going to know how to use it. Things are going to get lost in the shuffle, or people are going to save documents in the wrong place and can't find them again. So I am thrilled. Oh, and it's cloud-based because nothing's it's cloud-based. But here's the fun thing about being cloud-based. I've mentioned before, I work in this library system, public utilities building. We offer free Wi-Fi. We offer free internet throughout the building. But it's all one network. So our IT department has warned us on several occasions that it will lessen with an increased usage of internet in the building, which happens to coincide with whenever schools get out, which means like the last 2 or 3 hours of every workday pretty much means most things will become unusable for us. So, super thrilling future ahead.
Was there any news this week?
Sure. There was, there's somewhat minor news. But I don't know if anybody else has seen it. The new model Sonic the Hedgehog from the video game, the movie, I should say, has leaked.
I thought you were going in a different direction. Anyways, go ahead.
But no, it looks like a big improvement. It looks like an improvement. I don't know if it's a big improvement. Hoffman. He looks more not human, but more like Sonic the Hedgehog from the.
That's good.
It's bad. I wanted Nightmare Sonic.
I kind of did too, right?
Like, my year is ruined, actually.
Well, I mean, technically, it's not out this year, so
that's what I'm saying. It was supposed to come out this year and be a nightmare. It's going to be like the that was going to be the.
Was it out this weekend?
I want to say it was November.
Might have been early November.
Okay, that is in October.
Dude, we could have been just
the horror element.
We could have been days away from Nightmare Sonic, and I would have. It would have been great.
I suppose I'll have to change the movie dude's Twitter icon now.
I guess this barely qualifies as news, but I'll throw this out there because this is where I thought you were going with this, Earl. You could play as Sonic in the Super Monkey Ball.
Yes, you can.
Which is, it looks cool because it's, you know, makes it look like you're playing Sonic. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm a dork. I love Monkey Ball.
I will say, I mean, I'm happy they just rolled it out. No pun intended. But the way that, because it was leaked, and then it was leaked by Sega, who then just kind of just confirmed it out, right? It's like, whatever. Yeah, Sonic is an unlockable character in this game.
Yeah. I dig it.
Riot Games is finally living up to their name and have announced, I think, 4 new games?
That sounds right. I thought it was either 3 or 4, so.
Something like that. They announced Legends of Runeterra, which is a card game based off of League of Legends. They announced Project. They didn't give these names. There's a tactical. Character-based shooter, and there's a fighting game they're doing.
Yes, sir. So I think one's Project L and one is Project or Project F.
Yeah, Project F. Oddly enough, I don't think Project F is the fighting game. I think the fighting game is Project L, and Project F is the shooter.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm happy. I mean, I don't know how these out, but yeah, I do think any company should probably have more than one project or product to keep them afloat, so they are diversifying. And it doesn't
after 10 years,
so on steady wins the race. They're also doing a League of Legends animated series.
Okay,
so I mean, that seems like something that could kind of work, I guess, maybe. I mean, like, it has the it's character base, so that's fine. I don't know how you get the structure involved into anything, but we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, like, they, you know, they turned Overwatch into a comic book, so.
But Overwatch has a story and background that you can build off of. That is in and out of the characters and stuff like that.
True.
So.
There's 4 games that they announced. The card game you said. Project A is the tactical shooter.
Okay.
Project L is the fighting game, and Project F is a multiplayer dungeon crawler.
Oh, nice. I'm always down for more anything that's co-op.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Sounds fantastic. What else did we have? The Switch reached 15 million units sold in North America. There
Shocker.
Was a. Well, I mean, the Wii U never reached those numbers. I think it's on pace to outsell the Wii U's global totals by next year sometime.
In 2 years?
So.
It's pretty impressive.
Oh yeah, it's 2.5 years because it came out in 2017.
I want to say, am I crazy? I thought it was 16.
No, 17.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, so 2.5 years. So yeah.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm always right. I mean, it's without question. we got a new Pokemon Sword and Shield trailer, which shows that. There are Gigantamax versions of Pikachu, Charizard. Fat Pikachu and Young Meowth. Really Young Meowth. And you get those by... I think you get... Oh, and there's a Gigantamax.
By feeding your Pokemon really well.
By feeding your Pokemon really well. I will say the Gigantamax Eevee is really frightening to me.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything else. People are still mad at Blizzard.
Fair.
For hating Hong Kong.
No, I think they did. I think they did backtrack a bit.
Slightly. Ever so slightly. Yeah,
that he is getting his money now.
He's getting his money. They are only suspending him for 6 months. They are not. I guess they're not putting a year long ban on the broadcasters either. Their suspension is 6 months.
Which I still don't get why they're suspended, but
I don't know. But also, I don't know. I read their statement, and it just sounded like corporate bullshit. So
that was stilted corporate nonsense.
And they have not had a good week following that. Overwatch on the Switch is evidently not
bad.
Good.
Well, I mean, okay.
Bad
it's
is probably
I mean, it,
the better
yeah,
phrase.
It's still Overwatch, but yes, according to everybody, it performs poorly. And I think what we mentioned on here is like inherently, like there's been a lot of miracle ports on the Switch. Overwatch is an online game, and that no matter what technical wizardry you have, it's still going to be hurt by the fact that it's on a Nintendo system.
Yep. And I guess they ran into, was it early this week or late last week that it was announced that the Overwatch physical edition did not actually have a cart in it? It was
just a code,
which makes sense. It's an online game, but that kind of was like dog piled on top of the rest of the shit they were doing, so.
Yeah, it's not a very good week. And then they also they ended up canceling that Overwatch event at the Nintendo World store this week.
Yes.
So, that's not been a good week for them.
No, and they also canceled a 15th anniversary World of Warcraft event in Taiwan. I guess surrounding the, because of the Hong Kong protests. So
yeah, on the bright side, it looks like BlizzCon is still on. So we'll see how much longer that lasts.
So two weeks from now,
something
like that. It'd be something. So yeah, that might be it for news. We'll be back next week. We will not have the new games yet because they will not release until after that.
We might have some new games. I mean, I don't know if I am. Ring Fit Adventure comes out tomorrow, and I might pick that up.
I've heard good things.
It's reviewing well, much better than New Town Hero. I am super curious to check out WWE 2K20 because I've seen how bad it looks and runs, and that has gotten me morbidly curious about it.
So is this done by the same, is this done by Yuke's?
Yeah.
So they are still doing this one.
Well, I think it's been Yuke's and like 2K, but I think after this one, I think it's gonna fully go to 2K. I think.
And Yuke's is trying to do their own wrestling game.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe they'll get the AEW license. And
I hope AEW seeing what they did with the WWE games. They're like, oh, no, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. Like,
yeah, please. We don't need that. As AEW's been doing well for itself, so.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they're old school wrestling fans. I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to speak to AKI, who is now like Sin Systems or something. They do this house every game in Japan.
Okay. That'll be interesting. Or I know that a lot of them came from what, NJPW?
Yes.
Or some of them wrestled there, I guess. And what was it? Fire Pro Wrestling had that NJPW expansion for their latest edition. So maybe they could work something out with them.
Yeah.
That's a weirder. That is not what you would consider a modern wrestling game. A lot of people love that game, so. All right. Well, I don't know. We don't know what we're going to have next week. Maybe
we'll have something.
We'll have that morbidly curious about the wrestling game.
I managed to keep finding games lately every week. Like, I had no clue I'd be coming back to tell you guys about Knight's Quest this week, so. I feel calm, though, at this point, though. It's like trying to catch up on games before
the rest of the year. Yeah, I have like a list that I'm like, I should play these before the end of the year.
We should all go through Game Pass and pick one game at random to come back and talk about next week. Because
I think we already said, right?
The thing is, I'm too wrapped up. I really want to beat Borderlands before Outer Worlds. Like, I just feel like it feels wrong not to or whatever, so I doubt I'll have anything new, to be honest, but I'll be here, I think.
Well, that's good.
Well, that's good news.
And we might have World War Z. So
yes, sure. And I may or may not be here next week because I have to work late.
Okay.
How dare you?
I know. They don't even pay me for it. I mean, I love my job. Great people. But yes. No extra moolah in it for me.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with something, and we'll see you then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.